Life as a woman in the 21st century is challenging. We experience social pressures to have a great job, be the best mom, partner, daughter, and maybe for some, depending on your age, caregivers for your parents. That means we have limited time for self-care. But did you know that taking just 20 minutes of me time 3 to 5 times a week will actually make you calmer, centered, and more productive in whatever it is that you need to do? One of the best ways I find my inner calm is to do yoga, of course, but also to learn something new and exciting, to get my mindset away from that monumental to-do list. Life is so serious so much of the time. So it's important to lighten up and take a break from it all. In this podcast, we will be discussing topics that I find fascinating and that help me get into a positive, present moment headspace. Appropriately titled Yoga, the Moon, and Me, we will be discussing yoga, of course, but also spirituality, travel, the moon, her energy and her phases, and, well, life. You can find a new podcast here each week, sometimes just me, and sometimes I'll have a partner in crime. I don't take myself too seriously, and I believe that most problems can be solved by a conversation and 60 good minutes on a yoga mat. So from my sacred space to yours, welcome to the Yoga, the Moon, and Me podcast. Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be back speaking to you. I've taken a little bit of a hiatus in my podcast. It doesn't mean that I haven't been writing content or holding space for great people, having amazing conversations. But here I am back to share those conversations with you. This next series that I'm going to be offering, I'm going to call the Zen Den Chronicles. Ooh, maybe Chronicles of the Zen Den. Anyways, it's a summary of the conversations that we hold in the Zen Den all winter long. If you want to see a picture of my sacred space, which I call the Zen Den, hop over to my Instagram account at Green River and Co. and you will get some beautiful pictures of it outside and inside. It is a lovely sacred space, and I can only host 8 people there maximum plus me, so that means I have to turn a lot of people away. So I thought, why not share the conversations so that we could all take advantage of the teachings. So the conversation that we had last night, March 13th, in the Zen Den was all about strengthening your connection to spirit. When we talk about strengthening our connection to spirit, what does that even mean? Well, let's start with the term spirit. So I use spirit as an all-encompassing word to include God, creator, spirit guides, deceased ancestors, and so on. Basically, any energetic being that isn't walking around in a meat suit. Does that make sense to you? So now let's talk about connecting with spirit. Spirit is all around us. We came from spirit, and we go back to spirit when we die. So we have always had a connection to this realm. We are souls, or spiritual beings, having a human experience. So the fact that people look at us weirdly when we talk about connecting to spirit shows us how far we have really come from truly knowing ourselves. And when I say we, I mean the society that we're living in right now. We are more than the house we live in, the job we have, the car we drive, the phone we have in our pockets. We are more than the power and money that we have. And we are more than the country that we are lucky or unlucky enough to have to live in. But how often do you feel inferior to someone because maybe they have more than you, or they're better educated than you? Maybe they travel in more prominent circles than you. Look at the pedestal we put actors on. They aren't any better than us. They're just human. And a lot of them are kind of assholes. I'm sure there's a lot of nice ones too. But because they're rich, we think that somehow they are a better human than us. Conversely, how often do you feel superior to people? I felt it all of the time when I was driving my kid to school. Because the town that he goes to school in, there is so much homelessness and drug addiction, and it's right in your face. So at first when I started going there, I definitely felt better somehow than them. And now I think, I hope, I have shifted to compassion and sadness for their lot in life. I think of things that I can do to help them, and I see them as someone's daughter or son, and that brings me right to the level. What if that was my kid? Or what if it was me not being able to provide for my kids? The reality is, we are all just souls or spiritual beings having this human experience. We are all created by the same God. We have each chosen different life lessons to experience in this earthly playing field. Some of us will get to be yoga instructors. Some of us will be drug addicted, and sadly, some of us will be homeless and struggle to stay alive during Canadian winters. But we are all the same, and we are all universally connected. What I put out to the universe will have an effect on you and others. And what you put out to the universe will have an effect on me. And what a homeless, drug addicted person puts out to the universe, well, that will affect all of us too. Now, one might assume that they have nothing good to contribute, but I don't think that's right. Will we sense their grief, sorrow, and struggle? Likely, just as they will sense ours. But I'm pretty sure that their gratitude far outweighs ours. So we will benefit from that too. So it benefits all of us when we help each other. When we try to be our best selves, when we think positively and act positively, when we do the job that we love rather than hating every fucking minute of your life. Doing something 40 hours a week and hating it just so that you can retire at 67 with a little pension is not your best way to contribute positivity to the universe. Okay, so I maybe went on a bit of a tangent there, but my point is, we are spirit. It is in us. It isn't just something outside of us that we connect with, although it's that too. But we are spirit. Think about the game we used to play as kids, Ring Around the Rosie. And did you actually know that that is a death poem about the bubonic plague in London in the 1600s? Anyways, Ring Around the Rosie. Everyone holds hands in a circle, and you go around in a circle. And when someone falls down and releases hands, the circle is broken and the game stops. Think of our universal connection as everyone in the entire world holding hands, no matter how much money you have, no matter what your social status is, no matter where you're living, no matter what your habits are, everyone's holding hands. We are all universally connected. Everything that we do, our thoughts, our actions, our decisions, our words will have an effect on everyone else. If we live our lives in anger or unease or unhappiness, we are basically falling down in that game of life. We are breaking our connection. We aren't helping others with our offerings, and we can't receive the help of others if we refuse to embrace the connection. And trying to go it on your own is tough. Does that make sense? So when we think about connecting to spirit, it is actually more of a remembering. It's not a new gift that you're learning. It's one that you're just remembering. Our society, our government, has taken that connection away from us because, well, we can't be controlled when we realize that we are so much stronger as one. So connecting to spirit is remembering that we are spirit. We aren't separate from it. We are a part of it. Can most of us see spirits? Can we see our own soul like we can look at our hands? And the answer is no to that. And that's likely what makes it difficult to believe, but it doesn't make it any less true or real. I say that one more time. Can you see spirits? So some people can, but probably the minority. Can you see spirits? Can you see your own soul like you can part of your body? No, you can't. But does that make it any less true or real? We're having this conversation right now where you're listening and I'm talking. And so you know in your mind that it's true, right? You turned on your device and you listened to this conversation. So if I came to you in a dream and had this conversation with you, would it make it any less true? So society says yes, and I say no. If one of your ancestors or spirit guides gave you a clear message in your mind, which we sometimes feel in our gut, to say, drive down a certain road, and by doing so, you avoid a 1-hour traffic delay, or even crazier, a potential fatal accident, is it not real because you had that conversation with a spirit and not a meat suit? Because the words weren't said out loud with your voice, but rather in your head? Is it real? What do you think? So this conversation about connecting to spirit is really more about remembering and opening up your mind to possibility, to be open to accepting things that maybe can't be explained at first. These things will become your new normal in time, or should I say your old normal, because you're just remembering. And when you start this, you will fall in love with life, because our connection to God, our connection to each other, gives us a feeling of unconditional love, joy, and happiness that is so, so much better than the feeling of getting a great deal on the Savings Guru. When we open up our minds and hearts to a spiritual life, in addition to this material world experience that we're being asked to live, your life will be more amazing than you could ever have imagined. So, how can we strengthen our connection? So, I've come up with 7 steps to help you strengthen your connection to spirit, or help you to remember how to get there, because we live in this busy, crazy world where we are disconnected. So, let's remember. Number 1, open your mind. Try less and just allow yourself to relax into an open mind. Think of it as, rather than struggling and kicking hard to stay above water, just roll over onto your back and float easily. I have so many clients say to me, "Oh, I'm trying so hard to connect to spirit, but I can't get any messages." Stop trying. Just relax and allow. Number 2, prayer. It's okay if you aren't religious. You can still pray. The Christians don't hold the patent on it. And I grew up a Christian, so I'm not slagging anyone. I'm slagging my own people, I guess. Anyways, prayer, right? It doesn't have to be sitting in a church pew. You can pray anytime. Close your eyes and have a conversation in your mind's eye with your higher self, with God, with your ancestors or spirit guides, maybe even archangels. Maybe you are asking for love, protection, or support. Maybe you just need to have a conversation at 3 a.m. and there's no one else around. You aren't crazy. You're just spiritual. Number 3, meditation. Quite honestly, meditation is the number 1 method to getting back to your connection with spirit. When our minds are full of thoughts, worries, and whatever, there's so little room for our spirit guides to be heard telling us to avoid danger ahead. Some people say, "Well, if I had spirit guides, if they were real, then why did I experience XYZ? Well, probably because you're so thick, they couldn't get to you, respectfully. Prayer is us talking to spirit, and meditation is us clearing our minds and creating a space for spirit to talk to us. Build in a daily meditation practice into your life, even if it's just 5 minutes. It is crucial. And when you start, it gets easier and easier. Number 4, present moment living. One very hard thing to do is to live in the present moment. But with time and practice, we can learn to spend most of our mental time there, We spend way too much time in the past and in the future. We're thinking about stuff that happened, normally cringing a little bit, or maybe thinking about the good old days, or we spend all of our time in the future. So tell me if this sounds familiar. If this happens, then I can be happy, right? If I can just get that promotion, then I'll be happy. If I can just lose 10 pounds, then I will be happy, right? Sitting in the future, fretting about when something's going to happen. That is not present moment living. In the present moment, we are tapping into spirit by appreciating all of the beauty around us in nature, perhaps, or being really present for a conversation with another beautiful soul. In the present moment, we easily pick up on signs from our guides, a cardinal, a raven, an eagle, a dime, a feather, a recurring set of numbers that hold special meaning. If our minds are distracted by worrying of past or future, we will surely miss all of this. Take time every few hours to see if you are living in the present. You might create anchors throughout the day to bring you into the present moment. Like maybe you have a ringtone or alarm on your phone that sounds every few hours. Maybe every time you go to the washroom, you check in. Am I present right now? I'm just going to sit here and pee presently. Maybe every time you take a sip of tea, you are present, just enjoying the tea, thinking only about the tea that you are drinking in the present moment. Number 5. Spend time in nature. Getting out of the rat race and the distractions is a surefire way to reconnect with the spiritual realm. Your thoughts will slow down, along with your breath and your heart rate, and you will relax. In this time, be open to messages. Be the observer of the thoughts in your mind. Is it your inner voice, or maybe are they coming from somewhere else? Number 6, balancing your chakras. Through yoga, of course. Of course, there's many other ways to balance your chakras, but you know I love yoga. Life is difficult if we are all out of balance, not just physically, as in go to the chiropractor, but as in our energy. We have 7 main chakras or energy transformers that run up and down our spine, starting at our tailbone and ending at the crown of our head. The energy of each chakra, when opened and balanced, flows in a beautiful circular motion. Each chakra has a universal spiritual life lesson pertaining to our tribe and foundation, our relationship with others, our relationship with ourselves, how we give and receive love, how we communicate, our creativity and our intuition, and our connection to source. When any of the chakras become blocked or out of sync, it messes up the other chakras as well, as they are all interrelated, just like us. We may feel anxious, exhausted, overwhelmed, jealous, all the things. And in this way, these distractions make it difficult to maintain a healthy connection to spirit. So a regular yoga practice will help to keep your chakras balanced. Number 7, crystals. Crystals that can help you stay in alignment, creating and strengthening your bond with spirit include, I'm just going to give you the list and I'm going to leave it up to you to research them. Clear quartz, amethyst, celestite, labradorite, smoky quartz, and lapis lazuli. One more, hematite. So those are all great crystals to help with your journey to strengthening your connection to spirit. So I actually told you I was going to give you 7 steps. I'm going to give you 8. The last one is the use of some essential oils. And so some essential oils that I like to use when I'm sitting in state, connecting to spirit or connecting to my higher self. I love to use clary sage. Frankincense is a good one. Myrrh. And also, not as an essential oil, I just like to burn it, Palo Santo. Okay, guys, so this was a quick overview of our conversation, obviously one-sided conversation, because these were my notes and my thoughts. But this was our conversation in the Zen Den around the fire last night. We had some great thoughts and some great inspiration from attendees. So I would love to hear what you think. Shoot me a note on social at Green River & Co. Or you can reach out to me via email or text. You can hop over onto my website, greenriverandco.ca.